Welcome to... Wait, what are we calling this podcast?
How about we just say welcome to, and then you put it in later.
Welcome to...
Levitating Everywhere.
All right, we're good. Let's go.
Okay.
All right, that's good. Okay, so let's start the interview. Question one, how do you like our podcast so far?
It's pretty good. The clapping was difficult.
Yeah, that was a bit hard. The people listening, they're not going to hear the clapping.
I know, but I want them to understand that we've already gotten over one hurdle.
Yeah, that was the first major hurdle, and everything else can only go right.
So what do you think of the podcast so far?
Oh, you know, I think it's going pretty good. You know.
If that's any indication. Dude.
All right, question two.
Okay.
How much money do you make a year?
Oh, God, dude. Nothing.
Nothing?
Like zero. Don't... Nothing.
You're fucking broke, dude. Anyway, I crunch the numbers. I got the Windows calculator up right here.
Okay. What are we working with?
Zero.
I'm thinking about investing in some things, and I wanted to ask your opinion on them.
All right, what are you going to invest in?
You know, I was thinking about a new pair of pants, because I've had the same pair of pants since probably December of last year.
Uh-huh.
Looking at my current portfolio, do you think that's possible?
I wouldn't say that it's possible, but if you were to get those pants, you're not going to see a great return. Like, it's really a seller's market as far as pants are concerned.
I was just thinking in the terms of, like, Groupon and things like that, maybe there's a whole new sort of Web 3.0 pants bartering system that I could get in on.
Hold on, I'm going to Groupon. Let's see. No, I don't want to send them my email address. Do I have to do that? I'll send them your email address.
No, just write pants in the field and see what happens.
In the email field? All right.
Yeah. Just say new pants, pants since December.
It's just give me a red exclamation point. I'm gonna have to give them your email address.
Why don't you just say same pants since December? Groupon, please help, and then hit enter and see what happens.
Oh, they have a deal going on at Basil Bears.
What's Basil Bears?
Well, there's a picture with a guy holding some kind of herb, and then a woman with kind of a horse face, and they're sitting at a table with a bunch of raw vegetables on it, and then there's a chef with a neck beard, and he's just kind of stirring a wok that looks like it's filled with milk.
Oh, they're bears in the sort of terms of the gay community. They just kind of like, this is like big sweaty guys, and they just staple herbs to themselves and kind of make love on top of a saucer of milk.
A saucer?
I don't know if I saw
a saucer.
Doesn't Groupon itself, the first time I heard Groupon, and I'm not even just saying there's a bit, like, it legitimately sounds like a weird porn site.
It's like, there's like a group on you, like, they're all gonna like pile up. That's right.
Seriously, it's like, I don't want to get grouped on. Wait, you didn't give them your... You didn't give them your zip code, did you?
Oh, I gave them my zip code.
Dude, they're gonna fucking find you and group on you.
Dude, whatever, they have their email address.
Oh, fuck.
I wasn't kidding.
Are they gonna email me?
Huh?
Are they gonna email me concerning the pants, or what?
I'm trying to find how to search. Oh, how it works. Here we go. Step one, get it. Step two, share it. Step three, enjoy it. No. Okay, question three.
Shit, we're just zipping on. All right.
What's your favorite thing about my big brown eyes?
I told you this already. I'm imagining when they're replaced by, like, black fields of nothingness when you've died and your skin's rotted off and I'm just looking at your skull.
Is that a Dylan Thomas quote?
No, that's me, the last living man on Earth. That's how I'm planning it. That's what I see in my future.
How do you think you're going to outlive everyone else?
Bitterness? I don't know.
Bitterness.
Don't you think that it'd be like... That's what Charlton Heston did in Omega Man. That was the plot, right?
Was he bitter as much as he was racist?
He was racist. Yeah, no, you're right. He was racist. Racism would kept them alive.
So, I was thinking this would be the part of the podcast where I just kind of noodle around on guitar for 45 minutes.
No. I'll come to Cincinnati and stab you to death. Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna pitch to you, I don't know, three, four different podcast ideas, and then we can tell me what you think. Okay, here's the first one. We're gonna do drugs, right?
And drugs?
Yeah. But, like, legal drugs.
Okay.
And each week, it will be a different legal drug. And, you know, we're gonna start out real simple. There's a simple formula for it. Week one is gonna be Tylenol, right?
Alright.
So episode one is Tylenol, okay? Episode two is Tylenol 2. Okay? Episode 3, are you following me? Episode 3 is going to be Tylenol 3, which is codeine.
Uh-huh.
Episode 4 is going to be Tylenol 4. Okay.
Wait, episode 4 is what?
Tylenol 4.
Okay, yeah.
Episode 5 is going to be Tylenol 5. You following me where I'm going here?
You're just... Okay.
Episode 6 is going to be Tylenol 6.
Okay, yeah, I see what you're doing. And episode 7 is going to be Tylenol 7.
Yeah. And what do you think episode 8 is going to be?
Spice?
Methamphetamine. Spice. I didn't even think about that. Eyes will turn blue. We can see through space. So, you know, I figure if we do Tylenol for 52 weeks, that's one full year of Tylenol. We call the podcast 1 Year of Tylenol. or my Year with Tylenol.
That wouldn't be a bad thing, actually. All right, what's your next podcast idea?
Okay. So, this has kind of a setup to it. When I was living in Japan, their TV guide is called TV Brothers. Like, TV B-R-O-S, period. Like,
yeah.
Mario Brothers. And I was thinking that we should make a podcast called Pasta Brothers. And what I was thinking about it is, a few years ago, maybe about a year or two ago, I was driving and I was listening to NPR, and they were talking about how there was this guy who was getting really famous for going around the country and sharpening pencils. Like, that's all he was doing. He was just having public shows of sharpening pencils, and it was really smug and really self-satisfied, and like, most people don't know how to sharpen pencils, but here's a guy who's ready to show people how to do it. And he was just like, here's what you do, guys. You just put it in the machine, you crank, and you sharpen pencils. It's very philosophical. And it was like this whole... I don't know. That whole, like, Etsy, do-it-yourself, stupid culture for really mediocre people when they convince themselves they're kind of interesting. I don't know. Maybe it was just based on where I was when I was hearing it. But I was in the car, and I heard that on NPR. And I really wanted to, like, pull over and rip the stereo out of the car and throw it in the woods. And rip myself out of the car. So here's what we do. We do that, but with pasta. So every week we just tell people how to boil pasta, which is, you know, really simple, but then we wax philosophical on it. Oh, and also, the main conceit of the podcast is that we're brothers, and our last name is Pasta, and we're Siamese twins, but we're connected with pasta. We're not connected actually bodily. We're just connected with, like, hardened pasta. And, you know, as it goes on, there could be intrigue, like, you know, we're the Pasta Brothers, maybe our pasta mother liked you better, our pasta father died of mysterious causes, it could be a whole pasta cousins come in, you know.
Maybe one of the Siamese pasta twins is adopted.
Yeah, I mean, if they're only joined by pasta, it doesn't have to be genetic at all, they could be totally different ages, they could be from...
When you say they're joined by pasta, do you mean there's a physical bond of pasta between them, or do you mean... that they're joined together as brothers by their love of pasta.
See, I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive. I think maybe both or neither.
Okay. that's not bad. I do kind of like that. What were the other ones you had?
Oh. Okay, I think I already talked to you about this, but this is the big one. This is the best one. We're going from worst to best. Here's the best idea. So, you know, the main premise of this podcast is that we're two comedians. We live in LA, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember this, yeah.
We talk about, you know, what the comedy scene's like, what are the alternative rooms like, what are the main clubs, you know, going on the road. But we mainly talk about Twitter and Twitter followers and how to get more Twitter followers and who likes us on Twitter and stuff like that. But then as the podcast is going on, we start dropping little hints like, oh, you know, like... the other day I was eating a bale of hay, or like the other day, like a young rich white girl was combing my mane, and then people are like, huh, what's going on with that? And as the podcast slowly goes on, it's slowly revealed, we stop speaking English and we just start making snorting noises and neighing and stomping and stuff, And as the podcast goes on, our human disguises drop off, and it turns out we were horses the whole time. And every week has the same exact twist. Every week it just turns out we were horsed. But every week people tune in because they love the same twist over and over again.
Oh, like...
Like, you know how in Lost everybody would tune in for the same twist? Be like, oh, they're still on an island! Like, the last scene of every episode of Lost was, oh my god, they're still on that island! You know, and, I mean, the main twist of Mad Men is that it's really a horrible show. And you forget that, you turn it on, you're like, oh, this is stylish, everybody's really attractive. And then when the credits come up,
so boring. You're like, this sucks!
So, yeah, same twist, except this time, you know, we're not actually...
Can I just interrupt you for a second?
Yeah.
I don't know how big this podcast is going to get, but if John Hamm is listening to this, I'd like your show. I was just going along with the bit.
I think it's horrible, John. No offense. I think you're a great actor, but...
Those are all great ideas. Those are all really good podcast ideas, but... I actually had a podcast pitch of my own.
Oh, do it.
I have it on the list to talk about. I guess I'll just jump ahead.
Yeah.
It would be a podcast. It would be you and me. We would be, we wouldn't be in any kind of character or playing ourselves or anything like that. And every episode, it would be us. We'd be on Skype recording our podcast, just talking between us. But what we'd be talking about, we'd actually be having a podcast pitch meeting. And just pitching each other ideas for podcasts.
That's pretty good. But hold on. At one point, one of us dies mysteriously, though, right?
What?
Does one of us die mysteriously?
No. We just talk about cool ideas for podcasts.
But then what are the stakes? Can we threaten each other with violence? Someone has to die. I mean, if you read How to Sell Scripts in Hollywood, you have to kill someone or threaten someone with violence at a script meeting, at like a pitch. They call it an elevator pitch because you usually hold somebody over an empty elevator shaft while you're telling them about the movie you want to make.
I'm pretty sure you're confused. I don't mean to break the whole yes and thing, but I'm pretty sure you're confused.
You pretty much broke as I mentioned. Wait, so what does the elevator and elevator pitch mean then?
I thought they were just meetings held on an elevator. Because everyone's busy, they gotta get from floor to floor.
Is there a table and PowerPoint inside the elevator?
Nah, there's just an old-timey black guy with a big lever and makes it go up and down.
Oh, cool. And he's the one who pitches all of the ideas in Hollywood?
Yeah.
I wondered where they came from. So he really likes the same actors at the same time. That's why you see them in everything at the same time.
Yeah, he's like the film industry's Beggar Vance.
Okay. What's the name of Rachel from Friends?
Jennifer Aniston.
Do you think she looks like a golden retriever?
Everyone thinks she looks like a golden retriever.
But is it weird to think that and also kind of want to have sex with her?
A little bit.
Because I've never felt that way about an actual golden retriever, but like a girl who looks like a golden retriever really confuses me.
I mean, I think that's kind of built in. It's like, I think that might be why she's kind of where she's at in her career.
Well, do you think that look was sold to her by the old black dude who runs Hollywood? Do you think he pitched to her and said, like, really golden retriever it up and you'll go places?
Probably. I mean... If I may make a conjecture about that.
Yeah.
Jennifer Aniston, she was probably going up. She was, you know, probably already an actress in Hollywood, not doing that well. She was going up to meet with her agent in some, you know, some downtown LA high rise, something like that. Uh-huh. She got on the elevator. She saw Elevator Beggar Vance. She kind of snubbed him because...
I think we should refer to him as Elevator Vance.
Elevator Vance.
Okay.
Yes. And she's kind of snubbed him, and they rode all the way up to the floor her agent's office is on in silence. And as she went to get out, he reached out his hand, put it on her shoulder. She turned around, looked her deep in the eyes, and just said, "Golden Retriever."
That's Hollywood magic.
And then he closed the doors.
Wait, on her, or did she get out okay?
No, she got out fine.
Okay.
Question four.
Okay.
Is it okay if I email you a vignette I wrote last night?
Sure.
All right, hold on a second. Here, I'm sending it to you right now via Gmail.
I can't. By the way, you actually signed me up for Groupon. I thought you were joking.
No, I told you I wasn't joking.
But there's nothing about pants in this mail. And in fact, the weirdest thing about it says, the Groupon promise, we got your back, in big letters. Like they're going to Groupon me when I'm not looking, from behind.
Group all over you, boy.
Okay.
Also, your mic keeps cutting out. That's why I can't hear you.
How about now? I turned up the volume.
Click on the little symbol that looks like a stairway, like on a cell phone of like reception. And then where it says automatically adjust microphone settings, unclick that.
I don't see the stairway.
Like that looks like a cell phone reception thing.
What part of the window is it in? I'm just seeing... I've got Skype, file, edit, view, contacts, conversation.
What's under edit? Look under edit.
Is search... It's cut, copy, paste, delete, select all, search contacts and messages, find spelling and grammar, substitution, transformation, speech, special characters.
Are you texting me?
No. I did before.
Okay. Yeah, that was like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, AD. I don't think I've ever asked you before. Can you do any impressions?
Yeah, I can do a pretty... I can do two impressions at once, actually.
Okay. What are they?
It's James Brown from Living in America, and Mick Jagger from I Want You Back Again, and it's only one syllable, and it's both of them at the same time.
I'd love to hear it.
Okay, hold on, let me get ready. Let me drink a little water. Okay. It goes like this. I... What do you got?
I'm pretty good, but... I'm no, like, I can't even do it.
Okay, well, what do you have anything?
Oh, yeah, I got some impressions. I can do a pretty good Robert De Niro from Taxi Driver.
Oh, yeah, let me hear that.
Are you talking to me?
Oh, man.
Are you talking to me?
Wait, was the second one him in the mirror talking back to him?
No, he just says it twice.
Oh, but he says it to his...
If you would let me finish.
Okay.
Can I finish?
Yeah.
I'm gonna start over.
Wait.
What?
But he's talking to himself in the mirror when he does this, right?
Yeah.
So was the second one the reflection talking back to him? Taxi Driver takes place in the same universes as Alice the Looking Glass. It's positing another world. Yeah.
Just like 150 years later?
Yeah, sure. And it's talking about that's the mirror world. Travis Bickle talking back to him, and of course he's talking to him. Who else would he be talking to? There's only the two of them in the room.
That's right. There's no one else here, so you must be talking to me.
That's pretty good. So they were going to make a sequel to Taxi Driver called Through the Looking Glass, and it's going to start. He would be driving Scorsese around, and Scorsese would be like doing that whole... Dude, I wish I remember what Scorsese said. You remember the scene where Scorsese's talking about how he's going to go up and kill his wife who's cheating on him?
Yeah, I actually can do a pretty good Scorsese impression.
Oh, let's hear it.
Hey, man, I'm going to go up there, and I'm going to kill my wife who's cheating on me.
Was that our world Scorsese, or was that mirror world Scorsese?
No, that's actual Scorsese.
Okay. It sounded kind of more like mirror world.
Mirror world Scorsese sounds a little bit like, hey, man, I'm going to go up there, and I'm going to kill my wife who's cheating on me.
That's so good, man. Did you watch that recently?
Yeah, I usually watch it before work in the morning, which I have to leave for work at about like 10 till 8, so I really, like, I have to pop that in the old Betamax around like 5 in the morning, because it's a long movie.
Yeah, it's pretty long. Are you watching the director's cut that has the whole scenes that take place in the mirror world when he, I mean, it's weird, he just goes through the mirror and he just goes into another room and it's just, he puts on a Kris Kristofferson record. And it's just the two Travis Bickles, like, waltzing to, like, a Kris Kristofferson song. And that scene is, like, 40 minutes long.
I don't think I have that. I don't think they have the director's cut on VHS. And that's... I mean, I don't have a DVD player.
No, get the Criterion VHS. It's four cassettes.
Four cassettes?
It's four audio cassettes. Hey, so I got questions. Yeah, I've got a few, actually.
Okay.
This is a kind of convoluted question, so I might have to describe what I mean here. But have you ever either pretended that you had seen a movie that you'd never seen, or pretended that you hadn't seen a movie that you'd actually seen, or done the same thing with music, like pretended you've never heard a band that you actually have heard, or pretended that you have heard a band that you'd never heard, and if you have, why?
I would have to say probably. I can't think of any examples. Oh, you're talking about like Kevin Sickles, Bobby Brunzers? Yeah, dude, they're cool, man. But what I don't tell is like I totally heard 45 seconds of their 7-inch one time.
Okay. See, because what was making me think about it was, do you remember there was a band called Evanescence?
No.
Well, there's this horrible sort of like like Nickelback kind of, except it's like a girl singing, and it's like sort of, I don't even know what you call that music. It's like, I had a student when I was teaching English who was like a huge Evanescence fan. Like he was the biggest Evanescence fan. And I had to pretend that I had never heard of them because I didn't want to offend him by saying that I didn't like them. So I just kept pretending like, oh yeah, I never heard them. I heard they're good. And he made me a bunch of copies of all of their stuff and gave it to me.
Okay, I have a when you say he made you a bunch of copies of all it, is he giving you like 2-3 copies of every CD? Like, here, distribute these to your friends. Like, that kind of thing?
It was probably just one DVR of a bunch of, a DVDR of all of their albums. But he was always one to talk about what I thought of them. And I didn't have the heart to tell him that I hated Evanescence.
Oh, actually, you know what? Today I pretended I'd never seen the Boondocks because I didn't want to talk about them.
See, that's what I like. I feel like that's part of growing up, whereas if I was like in high school, I'd be like, no, that shit sucks, fuck you, and I'd pick a fight with anybody. You ever seen the DVD extras for Titanic? I've never actually seen the movie, but the DVD extras are really awesome.
Yeah, I fucking hated them.
Really? Dude, that was like 1999 era Leonardo DiCaprio. That was the real shit.
Yeah.
Do you remember how awesome he was? I'm not even talking about the movies. I'm talking about, like, him off screen. Like, if you watch the DVD extras, that's, like, when he was hanging out with David Blaine all the time. And it's, like, on set, it's just, like, him and David Blaine levitating everywhere. And, like, James Cameron
that's,
is just...
That should be the name for a podcast, Levitating Everywhere.
Can you imagine? It's just Leonardo DiCaprio and David Blaine holding hands and levitating everywhere.
Hold on, I need to see if I can find a picture of this. David Blaine.
You can find David Blaine levitating, I'm pretty sure.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, dude, I was lying. That's never happened.
No, dude, there are pictures of them.
Huh.
Hold on.
I know they're best friends.
Did you just make that up? Because they were friends.
No, they are best friends. If you watch the David Blaine documentary, it just keeps cutting to a whole bunch of David Blaine and Leo hanging out.
Hold on. I'm watching a clip of Leonardo DiCaprio talking about David Blaine on TLC. I can't watch this. Leonardo DiCaprio just says, when you did magic to me at that party right in front of my face, and I did
when you did magic to me.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, on the set of Titanic, like, Leonardo DiCaprio, that was when he was at his height of power. That was like, do you remember when Elvis was all fucked up on drugs before he had his comeback and he was super rich and nobody could ever say the word no to him? And he'd just, like, get on a plane and fly across the world to go eat a sandwich because he wanted to. And he'd, like, buy an elephant and then pay one of his friends to kill it in front of him. Like, that was the level that DiCaprio was at when they were making Titanic. So it was just him and David Blaine levitating. And James Cameron would come out and be like, Leo, get on the ground. You got to shoot the scene. He's like, no, I'm levitating.
Just levitating halfway across the world to go eat a sandwich.
Yeah. And then he'd make David Blaine levitate an elephant up into a ceiling fan until it died. Just to be a dick. You know, he had like a jet black cockatiel named Jerry that was his best friend and the two of them would just be levitating inside a convertible doing like donuts. And James Cameron would just be like, dude, you gotta make Titanic. And he'd be like, no, I'm levitating, man. Leave me alone.
Okay, so there was something I wanted to discuss with you, AD.
Yeah.
It's something, I know it's very close to your heart, and that is, it's racist Doctor Who fan fiction.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea because science fiction is inherently racist.
Right.
I mean,
I just want you to talk about racist Doctor Who fanfiction for a while.
I'll be honest,
so I can kind of understand your level of excitement because it doesn't quite match mine.
I'm just excited about anything that would cast really negative, sort of damning anything. Like if you came out and could prove publicly that Doctor Who was racist, I think a whole lot of people would kill themselves. Because, I mean, Star Trek is racist. The reason nobody likes Star Trek anymore is because it was proved publicly and scientifically that it was racist. Remember in, like, 2007, they proved that Star Trek was racist. And that's why you don't hear anything about Star Trek anymore.
Is this a bit?
No, I'm being dead serious.
How is it racist? Tell me that.
Because,
tell me how it's racist.
Because each planet is a different race, right? And each race has some kind of, like, this is the planet of the thieves, this is the planet of the killers, this is the planet of the people who only use their left hand, this is the planet of pederasts, this is the planet of people who wear hats, this is the planet that wants to kill anyone who wears a hat, this is the planet of the guys who look serious all the time, this is the planet of the people who, you know, like, lick their knives when they're done using them. And that's racist. That's sort of a medieval way of looking at the world. And Academia came out in like 2007 and said Star Trek is racist. We're declaring this publicly. They took what's his name?
Jean-Luc Picard.
Who's the actor who played him? Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
They took him to a cornfield and they made him dig his own grave and they shot him in the back of the head with a shotgun and then they buried him. No, I honestly, all that was bullshit, but I do believe that Star Trek is racist.
I don't think they actually shot Patrick Stewart in the back of the
head. Oh, no, that part is true.
That part is true?
That's the only true part of the story.
Okay. So, where were we?
If you died, would you rather become a transient after you died, or would you rather become a ghost?
I mean, they both have their pros and their cons.
Let's go through that. Because, I mean, I feel like a transient has a whole lot more pros than a ghost does, but a ghost can see a whole lot more people naked.
That's where I was going with that. I'm like, well, a transient, I could still, you know, masturbate while at the park.
Yeah,
which is something
yeah,
I do, and I will continue to do all the way up until I die.
That's something I'd love to do now, but I want to die and become a transient before I can do it, you know?
Exactly. I mean, that's totally understandable. That's how a lot of the population feels about it. I mean, that's why you have so many people who are converting from Christianity to atheism because, you know, they're not ready for that ghost phase yet.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people who are, you know, letting the Holy Spirit out of their hearts, just kind of shooing it out.
Because they want to masturbate in a park, basically.
It's all in Freakonomics. You can read about it. I've read about it extensively. I wrote a couple like short form essays about it, just kind of from my own personal experience with masturbating in public places. So yeah, it's all in Freakonomics. You can read about it there.
Okay. The cool thing about transients versus ghosts is transients have better songs than ghosts. Transients have a whole tradition of music where ghosts basically just sort of have anything from sort of like groaning to howling. Which, you know, I mean, that might be the next big musical genre. So what we're saying now might be totally moot when ghosts become the next big thing.
Anything in 3/4 I associate with the afterlife.
Wait, so ghosts came up with the idea of a waltz?
I don't know if they came up with it, but they definitely kind of co-opted it. And anything with pipe organs.
Oh god, I'm sick of ghosts co-opting our culture, man.
Yeah, it's gotten to like, like, you know, there was that huge backlash against, like, white girls wearing headdresses and everything, which was a little unfounded because they're like, hot girls, and, like, who are you to even talk to them, you know? It's like,
yeah.
You don't have that right. Why don't people get mad at ghosts for, you know, trying to take on human form?
Robert Fripp, actually, the guitarist Robert Fripp, quit being a musician because ghosts were stealing his music. a lot of people were killing themselves when listening to Robert Fripp music and, you know, bringing that shit into the afterlife and not paying for it. So he actually quit this week. If you look it up on Google, Robert Fripp gave up playing guitar.
I actually use Bing, so...
Get on Bing and write directions to nearest Red Lobster, Robert Fripp quits playing guitar, David Blaine levitating live elephant into ceiling fan, 9/11 Tower 7 conspiracy cocktail recipe. And you should find it.
Hold on, say it again.
white girls in headdresses, Robert Fripp.
Hold on. White girls in headdresses.
Robert Fripp quits music because of ghosts co-opting.
Hold on. Shut. Just slow down. Robert okay. Fripp quits music because of ghosts.
Ghosts co-opting.
Is co-opting hyphenated?
I think so, but it doesn't matter. Bing is smart. Bing will know what you're looking for. Then write directions to Red Lobster.
Directions to Red Lobster.
Oh, nearest Red Lobster.
Nearest Red Lobster.
Yeah, that's important. And then write David Blaine.
This is really specific.
Yeah, well, you'll find exactly what I'm talking about if you bing it correctly. Okay, David Blaine levitating.
Levitating.
Live elephant.
Uh-huh.
Into ceiling fan.
Into or just to?
Into, because the ceiling fan has to be hitting and killing the elephant.
Oh,
the bing.
Okay, I didn't know if he's just levitating it up to get a better look. Okay.
No.
Into ceiling fan.
And that's it. And if you bing it correctly, you should find exactly what I'm talking about.
What the fuck did I find?
What do you got?
The results. Let me just read. Because Becca Bechtel Beck Beck's Becker Becker's Beckett Blaine's Blair Blair's Blase Blake Blake's Blakely Blakely ceilings sell celebrity celebrant celebrants celebrate.
No, yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to show you on the internet.